Atlantis ISS, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Yes, we're ready for the event.
WBBM-TV, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call Atlantis ISS for a voice check.
Hello, check, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. How do you hear the space station?
I can hear you perfectly. Wow, that's amazing. It's so good to see all of you. I want to thank you for talking to us. And I want to start by asking a question to Sandra, if possible, because we know she's from downstate Illinois. Sandra, how meaningful is it for you to be a part of this last launch?
Well, you know, we were so focused on the launch, the training during most of our preparation time, I hadn't really thought about it. But I will tell you, it's an honor to be a part of any shuttle crew. And this one is really special because it is the last one. And we're just very busy up here. And I think it's going to hit us a little bit harder once we land there at the Cape and have to say goodbye to Atlantis for the last time.
Wow, it sure is. What's next for the space program, and what is the impact for future generations without the space shuttle launches?
Well, we're going to find out here next year. I think that there's one big capability we're going to miss up here on the International Space Station, and that's being able to return items like the Space Shuttle Atlantis is returning when we come back. Last year, there was a critical pump that failed, and we're going to bring it home so the engineers can take a look at it. Of course, when we lose the space shuttle, we're not going to have that capability anymore. But we are building new rockets. Some of our commercial folks are putting rockets together for us, so we'll be able to visit the space station again soon in a U.S. product.
So what happens personally for you and your careers? What is your next operations involved without being able to go up in space?
Well, it's not exactly correct. I mean, we have opportunities following this. We're going to continue to crew the International Space Station for the next decade at least. So we've got opportunities there to fly in space. And then we've got some great opportunities on the ground as well, supporting development of our next vehicle, which is going to go beyond low Earth orbit. And then we also have, a chance to contribute with the commercial companies as they come online to build vehicles that are going to come to the International Space Station. So there's going to be plenty for us to do.
You know, that's interesting because I wanted to ask you that. There's so much talk about the commercial programs and sending citizens, private citizens, into space. What do you feel about that? You guys are moving forward in advancing science. How do you feel about just us average Joes trying to do what you do?
Hey, I think that's really important. The more people can get in space, I think the better. It's just an amazing place up here, and I'd like everybody to be able to experience it. The problem is right now it's very expensive to get people to space, and so the way we'll get more and more people have access to space is to bring that launch cost down. And so we're gonna try to do that, and as we do that, it'll make it cheaper to do important research up here on the space station, but also eventually someday it'll make it easier to have access to the everyday person to be able to get to space.
What is your advice for young people who are interested in moving into your profession and also just people in general who are interested in the space program? With all the changes going on right now, what do you advise them?
Well, certainly keep tuned in because a lot of exciting things are going on. And for young people, you know, when we were all younger, we dreamed of being astronauts, and it seemed like a very remote chance or a remote idea. But if you work really hard, you persevere, and you follow your dreams, anything can happen. And here we are, testimony to that. So I would advise any young person, whether you're interested in being an astronaut or being involved in the space program or whatever your dream is, just give it a shot. Go for it. Believe in yourself. Work hard. You can do it.
And for those of us who are maybe fantasizing about it, now that there is talk of private people going into space, what is your advice for those people who want to get involved in the program? What's the coolest thing about actually being up there? It's fun to see you guys having anti-gravity effects. What would we expect?
Yeah,
Of course, there's a lot of things to enjoy up here, and not the least of which is being able to float around. That's a sensation that very few people have experienced, and it's really kind of interesting to translate to travel between these modules, kind of like Superman. Your legs don't get a lot of use, and your arms get an awful lot of use. So, you know, there's a lot of great things to look forward to, and when folks perhaps who, not just the wealthy few who have been able to travel to space commercially so far, but when the average person is going to be able to do it, it'll be more like commercial air travel. So I would see maybe 20 or 30 years in the future, we'll have commercial airlines to space, just like we have commercial airlines that go between cities in the United States now.
I know Sandra mentioned before that you guys were very busy and didn't really have a lot of time to reflect, but is there anybody who's feeling particularly nostalgic or sentimental about this final journey?
Well, as you know, we are very busy and we're concentrating on a mission, but every once in a while when it just quiets down for a minute, I remember sitting on the mid-deck the other day and thinking, wow, this is the last time this vehicle is going to fly. Here we are in space. So just in fleeting moments between being really busy, you kind of think, wow, this is really it. But boy, it's going to hit when we land and we'll stop. And when all the pressure's off of the mission and all the busyness is done, we'll reflect back and we'll realize that the space shuttle has completed its mission, and it's not a time for sadness, it's a time for celebration. It's had a storied 30-year career, and we're very, very proud of it. And so I plan on, when we get back to the ground, celebrating with everybody who's worked so hard on this program to celebrate the great achievements over the last 30 years.
Well, thank you all so much for talking to us, and thank you for the wonderful work that you've been doing for us on behalf of the program.
Thank you very much. We'll see you.
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. That concludes the WBBM portion of the event. Please stand by for a voice check from KTVU-TV.
Here on KTVU Morning News, it is Thursday. It's July 14th.
Sounds good. Stand by.
Good morning, Sam Cook. Thank you for joining us. It's 6:26 right now.
This is an incredible morning.
Yes, it is.
Because for almost a week, we've been showing you the incredible pictures of the crew members of the Space Shuttle Atlantis. Well, this morning, Pam and I have the privilege of talking to the shuttle crew live about their historic mission.
Atlantis ISS, this is KTVU-TV. Can you hear us?
Yes, Space Station reads you loud and clear. How do you copy us?
Copy that.
We hear you. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you, and ma'am, for joining us this morning. Tell us, okay, we've been talking about the barbecued chicken and the beans. What is it's called thermostabilized. Tell us about the food. How does it look? How does it taste?
Actually, the food's pretty good. Some of it is sort of in the form of meals ready to eat that the military has, where it's a pouch. You just heat it up and you eat it. The thermostabilized is in a dehydrated sort of form. As well, it comes in that form. You just add water, put it in the oven, and heat it up, and that's good to go as well. And, of course, we have our special meal we're going to be sharing with the space station crew, and we'll be having a very nice time and reflecting. You know, we originally wanted it on July 4th, but we'll have it instead at this time.
Well, just an observation. The four of you look terrific up there in space. We're so happy to be able to talk to you. But this is also the end of the shuttle mission. What are your thoughts now? The average person doesn't get a chance to talk to the space shuttle crew. You're winding down. This is the end of the shuttle mission. What are your emotions?
Well, you know, it's like any your first car, for example. You know, you love it, you hate to see it go, but you realize that every vehicle has its time. And while, you know, I personally believe there's a little bit of lifetime left in the space shuttle, we do have to realize that if we want to go beyond and get another rocket or craft that will go outside of low Earth orbit, the space shuttle's not the one. And eventually, we do want to go back to the moon, perhaps Mars or an asteroid, and we're going to need to stand down a little bit and take time and take perhaps the money that was used to operate the space shuttle and instead build a new vehicle with it, which is what we plan to do.
That's certainly exciting to hear that, you know, we intend to go back to the moon and Mars. What would you say is the most significant contribution that the shuttle program has made?
Well, I can definitely offer you one. I think there were a number of great contributions the shuttle made, but we're here talking to you from one of the crowning achievements of the space shuttle program, and that's the International Space Station. You know, the shuttle was integral in constructing, building, and putting all this together 210 miles above the surface of the Earth. So, you know, we get to see this, you know, this work of art every day for the next several days, and it'll be here for years to come. So definitely the space station is probably one of the greatest achievements of the space shuttle.
Well, we love you. We're pleased to talk to you. One final question. Have you thought of a Neil Armstrong-type statement to make about this as it winds down?
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because if we launched on time on July 8th, our original landing was supposed to be July 20th, which, of course, is the anniversary of Neil Armstrong's landing on the moon. As it was, we've extended one day. We'll be landing on July 21st, a significant day nonetheless. And I've put some thought into how we're going to reflect on the moment, and perhaps we'll just save that till the wheels stop calling. We'll let you know then.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much. We are talking live to the astronauts there. Notice the Cal fan in the back. We appreciate that here in the Bay Area. Thank you very much for joining us.
And have a safe trip home.
Yes, please.
Thank you so very much. Have a great day.
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston ACR. That concludes the KTVU TV portion of the event. Please stand by for a voice check from WTXF-TV.
Let's go to space. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. The astronauts of the shuttle Atlantis are making history right now on the shuttle's last mission in space. You know that. And they are about to join us live. In fact, I think we have them at the International Space Station. And there they are.
Hey.
Just floating there. Hi, welcome to Philadelphia.
Hey, it's great to be here, my hometown of Philly. How you doing?
Good, that's great. Commander, we're so happy and proud of you. Now, we may talk to the rest of the crew, too, but we're going to concentrate on Commander Ferguson here. But we'll get to everybody eventually. I'm trying to look at you and look at their hair sticking straight up. That specialist, Magnus, Sandy Magnus. So, Chris Ferguson, when did you first get involved in space?
Oh, that's even better. That's awesome.
Well, you know, Philly's own Willow, Will Smith's kid. What's the name of her song?
I whip my hair back and forth.
That's the first time we've seen somebody whip their hair back and forth from space. Anyway, Commander Ferguson, when did you first have the dream of going to space from living in Philadelphia?
Oh, I grew up in the Northeast there. I went to St. Martha's grade school, Archbishop Ryan High School, and I think it was somewhere in there. I had some real motivational teachers who got me interested in science and taught me a little bit about aviation. I thought, well, you know, maybe I'd like to fly airplanes someday. One thing led to another. I always had a fascination with the early astronauts in the Apollo program. And, you know, lo and behold, you just you put your nose to the grindstone and you keep your dreams alive and you end up in interesting places someday.
I'm telling you, I've done a lot of these interviews, well, a few of them from space. The technology now is amazing. The picture, guys, you look like you're in a studio, maybe in Omaha, Nebraska or something. The shot is so clear. Is this a hoax? Are you really in space still?
See the hair?
I don't know. We're going to have to do something for you.
Yeah.
I want to do it.
Oh, yeah, I can do that. Watch this. Can everybody float around for us? That was really cool, Chris. Look at her.
I think Sandy's hair is pretty much a dead giveaway.
Wow. It is.
Oh, there you go. There's a pose for you right there.
That is so cool.
Well, which way is the space station? Are you standing? Are you upside down?
Actually, we're in the Japanese module right now. This is one of several modules. The space station is really, it's an incredibly large vehicle. It weighs over 1 million pounds right now. And, you know, if you have one of the unique opportunities like we have to, you know, be 1,000 feet below and look up at this tremendous vehicle. It's just awe-inspiring. It's hard to believe that mankind has built this, and we get to live in it for a couple of weeks. It's great.
You know, every now and then you can see the space shuttle go over Philadelphia. What are you looking at right now? Like, for instance, right now, where are you floating?
We're floating in the Japanese module, which is one of the wings that sits off the side of the space station. Of course, it's a series of tubes that stick together. But when you see the space station fly over, it's a very bright light. What you're usually seeing is the reflection off the large solar arrays that are about 300 feet long. So that's what you typically see.
Yeah. So where is the space station right now over the Earth?
Wow, that's a real good question. We actually have this real neat computer application that tells us where we are in the world, because sometimes just by looking out the window, you can't tell. But right now, we don't have it up, so honest to goodness, we can't tell you where we are over the Earth. But if we went to a window, we could find out.
Well, listen to this. I've been told you're over the Northeast Atlantic. You're just west of England.
Oh,
European test.
Fantastic. You know, Rex here is just an expert in geography, and all he has to go down to the cupola, which is kind of like a fishbowl, if you will, to allow us to look out the bottom of the space station. And Rex can usually pick out exactly where we are at any given moment.
That's kind of cool. I'll say, did you take any tasty cakes up there? And if you did, which one do you like?
You know, first thing we're going to do is maybe get Sandy to go back and open one of these windows behind us. We'll let you look out the window a little bit. Did I take any Tasty Cakes? Unfortunately, no. But believe me, I am a lifelong fan of Tasty Cakes.
Okay, now we have some video of you you folks eating breakfast. What did you have for breakfast?
I'll tell you what. Let me pass the microphone around a little bit. This is Doug Hurley, the pilot. Let's just talk to him. He'll let you know.
Let's see. I had oatmeal with brown sugar this morning, and I think somebody else had eggs, and I don't remember what Rex had.
A sausage patty.
And a sausage patty. So, you know, pretty good hearty breakfast. Now, a lot of our meals are kind of, you know, similar to military meals ready to eat, so they're in pouches or bags, and some of them you have to add water to, and we have a small oven in the shuttle where we can heat things up, both food, and we can get hot or cold water out of the dispenser right above it. So it's a pretty nice setup, and the food is really, really good.
Sandy, your face is turning red. Is that the blood running from rushing to your head? And what are you looking out behind? What's out the window?
A lot of water. Most of the time when you look out the window up here, there's just a lot of water, and occasionally you'll go over a continent. It only takes us 90 minutes to go around the world, and so we get a sunset and a sunrise about every 45 minutes. When you're over the Sahara, it's very, very dramatic. There's a lot of browns and oranges and tans and beiges. It's really beautiful. The Caribbean is really beautiful. But right now, we just see a lot of water out the window.
Yeah. You know, as Bette Miller once said, from a distance.
Oh,
no, I won't sing. So I always wondered what you wear. But we've had some people tweet us this morning, want to know. By the way, congratulations, they say, to Commander Ferguson. We're all proud of you. Everybody who ever went to Archbishop Ryan High School. So that's one thing. I'm not going to ask this, but they always ask you, how do you go to the bathroom, stuff like that. You want to know?
Yes.
My co-anchor, Chanel Marie Jones,
thanks,
wants to know, how do you go to the bathroom?
How do you?
Do you go in the suits?
Let's just say it involves airflow rather than gravity. I will just leave it at that.
Oh, no.
It relies on a gentle airflow. Little breeze.
Okay.
Thank you all very much. Well, we didn't talk to Rex. All right. Thank you all very much, and congratulations, especially to our commander, Chris Ferguson from
Philly. We're
proud
of you.
Hello to my family and friends in Philadelphia, Drexel University, Archbishop Ryan. Go Philly.
That's right.
You. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I'm not even kidding, this makes me want to go back to school and do something with my life.
Atlantis ISS, this is Houston.
Thanks so
ACR.
Much, folks. Have a great day.
Thank you. That concludes the event.
Thank you, WBBM-TV, KTVU-TV, and WTXF-TV. Atlantis ISS, we are now resuming operational audio communications.